Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to come together as your people and discern it. And Holy Spirit, then we ask that you would flow through this place, open our hearts and minds to receive all that you would have for us. Give us your wisdom and your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We are on the final week of this, is that working? Okay, that's all right. We're in the final week of this series that we've been working through called What's the Point? Right? As we've looked at the different aspects of the church, of ministry, and sort of asked the question, why do we do what we do? At the very foundation of that, the first sermon in this series that I gave was worship. And that fundamentally, we are called together as God's people to worship before Him. But closely related to that were what came next. We spoke about preaching. These are foundational aspects as well of what we are called to do as God's people. Preaching and, of course, the ministry of the Word and sacrament. So baptism and the Lord's Supper play crucial roles in what we come together to do as well. And of course, just kind of as a little bit of a side, but something fundamental to what we do as God's people, giving, I threw in there, as something, of course, that we have lots of questions about and something we wrestle with as well. And so now this week, then, we ask the question, what are we called, as we wrestle rather with this question once again of what we are called to do, is there some action in that, right? Some response that we're supposed to give as God's people that we need to then go out and do. And to answer that question very, very simply, the answer is yes. Yes, God's grace to us just alone calls a response for our lives. But it's very specific as well, right? That specific thing that we are called to do, we find in our text this morning, in what is famously called the Great Commission. Right? We see that very, very plainly in verses 19 through 20 of our text this morning, where Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you until the very end of the age." Well, as we dissect this mission, this calling that's placed on our lives as followers of Christ, I want to look at it in three angles. First, we just need to plainly spell out what the mission is. What is the mission that we are called to do? And then secondly, I think it begs to wrestle with how we are to accomplish that mission, how we are then to do that mission. And then finally, I think an important note to end on is the assurance of that mission and that it will be accomplished in Christ. So, what is the mission? Well, very plainly, and maybe in almost a mic drop sort of moment, I could simply say it is to make disciples. Right? As we look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, the imperative, that is the command that Jesus gives in this, is to make disciples. That is it. That is the mission. Mic drop moment, right? I could just walk off the stage right now and tell you to go make disciples. And everybody could go home happy. Right? Some of you would be really happy about that. Early lunch. But that'd be a really short sermon now, wouldn't it? And I can't do that. Not at all. In all seriousness, the call on us is to make disciples. But what is a disciple, right? This is an important question to wrestle with. And as we do this, I want to wrestle with this question as plainly as possible. Because quite frankly, we make unnecessary distinctions when we're wrestling with what it means to be a disciple, what a disciple looks like. Right? So often we'll make this distinction between are you a Christian or are you a disciple of Jesus? And these are unnecessary and quite frankly unbiblical disconnects that we make between the two. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says at the very end of the verse, it says, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, we'd almost sort of glaze over this detail, but think about what's being equated here. The word Christian, or the word disciple, is being equated with Christian in this moment. So, in other words, if you claim to be a Christian here this morning, then you are also a disciple of Jesus. There is no distinction between the two. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. And therefore, the call of a disciple is on you. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you've sat in these pews for 5 minutes or 50 years, you are a disciple, and that call is on you. So what is that call? What is the call of a disciple then? Well, to answer that question, I think it begs further definition of what a disciple is. And very simply, a disciple is a learner or a follower. If we think about this kind of in the historical context in Jesus' time and place, we can think easily to some of the metaphors and the imagery that Jesus used throughout his ministry. And some of those metaphors, those pictures that he leaned on heavily were farming imageries. And one of those farming imageries he used was that of a yoke. Right? A yoke is this big plank of wood that was placed on two oxen to help them to work together to plow the field. And so here these oxen are yoked together, they are working in unison in order to get things done. If one kind of went astray, the other would tug them back in. In fact, that's often what they would do with these oxen. They would put a young one with an older experienced one so that the older one could break and teach the younger one to do just that. To learn to plow the field. And so as we take that imagery and apply it to what it means then to be a disciple, you are often yoked to a person, a teacher, a rabbi, and you would follow them everywhere they went. You would listen to every word that they say. You would do what they told you to do and do what their teachings encouraged you or called you to do as their disciple. This is what it's meant for even us today to think of when we look for and lean or try to understand the call of being a disciple on our lives. You, as a disciple of Jesus, are yoked to a person, Jesus. And the call on your life, then, is to follow him in all he does, to heed his teachings, to learn from them, and then use them, apply them for your life. That is what your life should look like, then, as you walk through it. And your calling then also is to help others to do the same. But how? How do we do that? That's the big question. How do we make others become disciples of Jesus? Well, to answer that question, I want to take a look at this commission and center this around three verbs that we see in the commission, because I think this really helps us to understand the how. First, Jesus says to go and make disciples, right? He says to go. And we just can't sit here on our butts and expect that that people are going to come to us and want to become disciples. Make no mistake, we absolutely believe that God is in charge and completely in control of our personal salvation. But we also believe that He uses means. As we look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter tells us, the people of God, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy possession, God's chosen people who are set apart to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. And so with that, what we see here is that God uses us in His story to declare, to proclaim, to teach, or however you want to say it, the praises of the God who saved you out of darkness and brought you into His wonderful light through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now what's interesting is we look at this word go a little deeper here. It is actually a passive participle. I don't know if you remember this from your grammar classes, but a participle is a word that typically ends in ing. And it's passive because it's sort of an indirect action. And so while it's I think it's probably appropriate to translate the word go as simply go, it might actually be more appropriate to translate it as you are going. Now, I don't know if you see the difference there. Maybe you think I'm making a distinction without a difference, but I think there's a significant difference to this. And we see that specifically in the distinction of the callings placed on our lives. Now, that being the case, we are not all going to be called to be missionaries, to go to the ends of the earth and proclaim the gospel to unreached people groups. We should hope for that. We should pray for that, that God would raise up people in our midst to do just that. But it's just not all of our calling. But rather, for most of us are just called to live our ordinary lives, using our normal skills as bankers, as computer technicians, as counselors, as teachers. And as you are going, you then look for opportunities to make disciples of all nations. People you rub elbows with, people you interact with, are possible opportunities for you to show God's glory and God's grace as you live out this call to make disciples. The second verb that Jesus uses here is the verb baptize, or to baptize. So we are to make disciples by baptizing them. What do we mean by this? What do you mean this? Isn't baptism only something that we do here in the church? And Brian, aren't you the guy who technically can only do baptism according to our tradition? And the answer to that is technically yes, but we have to think bigger about what baptism is. Right? What is baptism in the bigger picture? I only preached on this 2 weeks ago, right? But I laid this picture out for us. Baptism is a mark, it's a sign, it's a seal of God's promises on us and for us. Baptism in many ways is a beginning of a journey for us. It's the entrance point, we might say, into God's covenant community. And so, in many ways, baptism, to baptize, is then to draw people into community as they learn and as they follow Jesus. Why though? Why is community so important according to the scriptures? Why is it a crucial part of this commission? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons behind that. First, we believe it's so important because we know and we understand that it is important for God's people to connect regularly or engage in regular worship. Right? We are made to do that. Worship is the foundational thing that we are called to do as God's people. Second, we believe in the power of the ministry of the word and sacrament. And a big part of this commission is for us to teach them to observe all that Jesus has commanded us. Where else do you get regular exposure to those commands and gain an understanding of how to observe them than through His church and the proclamation of the word therein? Where else do you get the opportunity to encounter the risen Christ through these symbols, these sacraments that God has given us, these means of grace that remind us and affirm the promises that God has made to us? The answer is nowhere. Right? The church is uniquely equipped, the community, the people of God is uniquely equipped to do just this. And so it's important that we invite and allow people to enter into His covenant community. And then, think about this just practically. We live in a culture that is increasingly experiencing more and more loneliness. Loneliness is a massive problem in our culture today, even though we're more connected than ever. 1 in 5 Canadians experience some sort of loneliness. And so within that, as God's covenant community, we have the opportunity to enfold people in, to bring them into a community and alleviate the loneliness that people experience. That's a powerful, powerful thing that God has called us into. The last verb that we see in this command is, or this commission rather, is to teach and to observe. Now this is where it becomes incredibly uncomfortable for you if it hasn't already, or maybe gets easier. Because here's the thing, our call is not just to make converts. That's not our goal. Our goal is to make disciples. We are not just called to gain notches in our spiritual belt. We are to teach people to observe all that Jesus commanded us. Think back to the metaphor of the yoke of the oxen that Jesus uses in His ministry. These two oxen are bound together by this wooden plank that keeps them in sync, keeps them in unison. And so as such, there's a relational aspect to what these oxen are doing as they plow the field. There has to be. They have to work together. And the same is true for us. There is a relational aspect to discipleship that we cannot neglect. If our goal is just to go out and create converts, we are not fulfilling the Great Commission. One metaphor the New Testament uses, that Jesus uses Himself, is this metaphor speaking of new believers as being born again. How many of you would leave a newborn baby out in the cold to fend for themselves? I hope the answer is none of you. So with that in mind, why would we leave a newborn disciple or Christian, because they're the same, out in the cold to figure it out on their own? We shouldn't. We should walk with them. We should help them. We should model for them and teach them all we know. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." As disciples, as Christians, we need to be willing to say the same to people. So if you feel inadequate for that call, my question to you is why? Half of you have been sitting in these pews your whole life. You should be more than qualified to share your life with someone. You should understand the core doctrines of our faith and be able to teach them to others. And if you can't, how can I help? How can I help in that? At First CRC, we believe that the core activities of a disciple are connecting to Jesus on a regular basis through worship and resting in His presence. We believe we go deeper by growing in our relationships with one another, and that takes shape in intentional, meaningful relationships that can work itself out in small groups or just meeting regularly with one person, growing with one another. And then the outflow of that is sacrifice as we serve our communities and give up for those around us, showing God's grace and God's love to everyone. You're not expected to be perfect in this. Rather, the point in this is for you to point to the perfect man, Jesus, who did it all. I want to close by focusing on the assurance of this commission this morning. Because here's the thing, as much as we try and try and try to make disciples, as the commission calls us to, we will fail. We just will. You're not perfect, and nobody expects you to be. But here's the thing, that's really the point. You see, in yourselves, you have no authority to do this at all. And that is a good thing. If the authority were ours, we would no doubt abuse it. If it were in our own strength, we would squander it. But luckily for us, as part of this commission, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And as such, he has commissioned us to participate in his story. You have to understand what that means. It means as you go and make disciples, you are participating in God's great plan of redemption for the entire universe. You are taking that ounce of authority that Jesus has given to you, and you get to take that power and authority and carry it forward, helping others to find their purpose and their connection to God. And the beautiful thing of it is that as we live this promise, as we live this commission, we know that we are never alone in doing it. Because the promise that Jesus gives us is that he will be with us to the end of the age. And because it is his promise, because it is his mission that we get to participate in, the reality is that you cannot fail. You cannot fail, no matter what. As much as you stumble, as much as you falter, as much as you feel you're not good enough, in the end, it is his mission, and he is working in you and through you. And you can still trust that you will find your purpose in his story, no matter what. Because it is his story. Friends, that should give us great comfort and great peace as we go about His mission in this world. I pray that that will be your hope, to seek His presence, to seek His will, to seek your place in the call of His story to make disciples. Let's pray. Father, as we continue to try to find our place, try to carry your mission forward, try to make disciples as you call us to, I pray that you would convict us. Help us to look in our lives, to ask the questions, where is my place? What are you calling me to do? Who are you calling me to interact with? Lord, it may be somebody sitting right next to us this morning. It might be a boy in the cadet program. Maybe we can invest. Maybe we can pour ourselves into them. I pray that we would. I pray that you'd give us the wisdom and the strength to step outside our comfort zone, to get a little uncomfortable for a lot of glory in your name. We ask this, all this, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We stand as you're able and join me as we respond in faith. Will you come and follow me? Seated.